The State Legislative Affairs Briefing, number one, to please come up to the stage. I would like to ask each one of you to start your remarks by giving us your name and association. If we got seats for everybody now. I have three seats down here that are saved, but so far nobody's taken them, so I'm going to say they're not saved anymore. So I have three right up front, if somebody's interested in these. Okay, does everybody who wants a seat have one, please? Thank you very much. We will have the State Legislative Affairs Briefing. John Cushman, who, by the way, is running for the NRA Board, Craig DeLuce, Dave Kopp, Richard Pearson, Alexander Rubian, and Holly Sullivan. All of our speakers today will be in alphabetical order. That seemed to be the fairest way to do it. So we'll start with John Cushman. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, gun lobby. I love getting here early in the morning and getting everybody while they're still awake. I don't want to talk to you folks after you've had lunch. Anyway, you see a lot of drooping eyes. My name is John Cushman. I'm the president and founder of an organization called Sportsman's Association for Firearms Education 30 years ago. We started with five people. We have 700 members now. All we do is political and legislative work. I'm also a director with the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association for the past 15 years, a state association. The ones who are having the major lawsuit that's coming before the U.S. Supreme Court in October this year. Believe me, it was a long time in coming, and we didn't really think it was going to happen for a while there. I'm also a 25-year veteran with the NRA Board of Directors, and therefore I thank Julie for mentioning that I am running again. It would seem they have some problems. They need some help in fixing, which I will do. Instead of me telling you all about the bad legislation, which most of you probably already know, you read the newspapers, you see the magazines, you look at the TV. It's amazing the number and variety of anti-gun legislation these folks. I just went to a dinner last night, not last night, the night before. We had 400 people there for a Friends of NRA dinner, fundraiser. There were 100 anti-gun protesters out there with three state assemblymen. And you should hear the things they call us and the things they say. And that's the downright scary part. Some of these people have become so fanatical that they advocate hurting other people, killing NRA members or gun owners. We walked in and I was accused of, oh, you gun owners, you're the ones that you play on the blood of the children to try to push your agenda that you need guns for self-defense. And I said, what are you doing? What are you doing at all? And the thing that bothers me is, as I look at the audience, this audience is about 75 to 80% men. One of the things we do locally to try to combat the anti-gun legislation is we do a lot of programs with women, because for some reason, women saying the same exact things that the men say carries with it more weight, as if they consider all of the ramifications of it, and therefore it makes more sense when it comes from a woman. Just for the record, we've done the Women on Target shooting program for 15 years, and we've trained over 1,900 women who've never handled a gun before, and it's amazing. Thank you. It's amazing how many of them we haven't had one complaint about it. They actually feel empowered and more knowledgeable. And I'll tell you now, most of them won't get a gun. But the idea that they know about it, what's right, what's wrong, is unbelievable. And they have become very big advocates of ours. And for that, I am very grateful. And so could you, and I thank every one of you ladies who are here today supporting your men and yourself, because this is your issue. I I only got a couple of minutes left, so let me make it quick. Like I said, instead of going over all of the bad legislation proposed, I mean, try something. If you have a raffle, New York State wants to ban the idea that you can use a firearm in a raffle, as if the person who wins the raffle for a gun is somehow not going to go through the background check to get it. This is how stupid they are. And they are stupid. It's either that or they really aren't paying any attention. The big issue is, no matter what is going on, you must contact your assemblyman, your senator, and don't stop writing letters to the media. They don't want to hear from you. The legislators don't want to hear from you. But as I told you last year, I gave you a process by which we use mail to help us. Keep it up. Don't stop. The legislators, even the ones who are the most strongest anti-gunners, have a hard time overcoming the will of 100 letters coming into that subject. It's real hard for them to overcome it. And then when you face them in a legislative meeting or an agenda, they don't really know what to say. They try using the same arguments. Well, you guys have gotten hundreds of letters. Why are you going against the will of the people you represent? And then they have a problem. Well, we didn't mean that. They're going a little too far now. The truth is, they're going as far as they can get away with. It's up to us to make sure we don't let them get away with it at all. As for the women, I want to just go back to it. I'm a certified instructor for 38 years. And I'm telling you, the women are better shooters than the men every single time. It's amazing when we give the classes how the girls freely admit, well, I don't know that, so I will listen and I will learn. And I haven't met a guy yet that comes into my class. Oh, no, I did that before. What's that? I don't know what that is. It's a safety. Don't worry, we'll explain it all to you. Well, I heard about that. But thank you, ladies, and I hope you continue it. I beg you all know people. Talk to them, tell them, do not ever give up, do not ever stop. No matter how bad it looks, I'm telling you from New York, it's as bad as it is, we never, ever give up. Thank you for your time and your insight.
Craig?
Greetings from the great state of California, the belly of the beast, behind enemy lines, however you want to put it. I wanted to come here today, and it's the funniest thing, and I've been speaking at these things now. I think this is my fourth time, and I keep telling you guys what happens in California does not stay in California. And I've had a chance to spend some time in D.C. As legislators, as congressmen and senators are talking about this thing where they need to do something. There's like this need, we've got to do something. Even people who agree with us are like feeling like, well, we have to do something. When I meet with their staff, I'm hearing a lot of familiar things, things that I've heard before, things that I've heard, quite frankly, in the state of California. For example, red flag laws. How many of you have heard of red flag laws? That's pretty much the response that I expected. When 2014, we enacted red flag laws in the state of California because we had to do something. Now, mind you, that something didn't really do anything because we still had the Tehama County mass shooting. We still had the Gilroy mass shooting. We still had the Borderline mass shooting. We still had the Poway, the synagogue mass shooting. So the something that we did clearly didn't work. The something that we needed to do clearly didn't work. So now, once again, the answer, instead of saying, well, what you did didn't work, the answer is, well, we need to do more of what we just did. I know. I hear you. So one of the things that happened now in the state of California is now they, obviously California wants to be the leader in stupid ideas. Our state legislature said, no, we need to expand these things. We need to make it so that anyone that you work with ought to be able to get, we call them in California gun violence restraining orders. You guys might know them as extreme risk protection orders. We probably all recognize them as BS. But they said, anybody you work with. Now, in testifying before the legislature, my response was, well, okay, so the California legislature has over 2,000 employees. Any one of them, whether they know you or not, can now go to a judge and have your fundamental right to keep and bear arms taken away, and can basically have a SWAT team show up at your house. And, you know, legislators always get mad because they're not necessarily going to send a SWAT team. I'm like, let's put it this way. Armed law enforcement officers are going to show up, and they're not going to be bringing candy and flowers. Because in California, they also issue what they call gun seizure warrants, which allows them to search your home, your business, any place where they believe you might have a gun. So they want to expand it to anybody that you work with. They want to expand it to anyone that you may have been an instructor at a school you went to up to 6 months ago, which, by the way, raises the question, if this is an extreme risk, if this is immediate, why does someone who hasn't seen you for 6 months get a chance to take away your fundamental right to keep and bear arms? But I digress. So this is how they want to expand it. They also want to expand it in a way in which says right now it's limited to 1 year. They want to expand it to up to 5 years. Now, I get it. You guys are like, well, why are you telling me this? I'm telling you this because what happens in California does not stay in California. Extremist protection orders, red flag laws are just one example. Gun rationing is another. The idea that saying there's legislation that says you can only buy one handgun a month. Now, already in California, I mean, one long gun a month. In California, you can already only purchase one handgun a month. Now, this is akin to rationing civil rights. It's like saying you can only go to church once a month. You can only read one book a month, right? It's like saying you can only write your congressman once a month. Now, you guys are saying this is insane, but guess what? There's federal legislation introduced that does the exact same thing. We also have what we call in California the ghost gun registration. This is something that's targeted at home builds. The idea that when you decide you want to build a firearm at home, create a firearm at home, they want to require you to serialize it. Now, if you're like me, you understand how dumb an idea this is. Because if I'm a criminal and I'm deciding I'm going to go out and commit a crime, now I'm going to manufacture this gun. I'm going to build a gun. I'm going to put all of the things on it that make it assaulty. Right? I'm going to make it all assaulty and stuff. I'm going to get a magazine that holds, 50,000 rounds. Because according to Congress, those things exist. And then I'm going to stop and say, oh, wait, this firearm isn't registered. Let me go to the Department of Justice and get a serial number. Is a stupid idea. Now, I get it, and you get it. But in the end, the thing to understand is, once again, what starts in California does not stay in California. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you this in particular, for those of you who are from freedom-loving states, and unfortunately, while there are people in California that love freedom, California is not necessarily, according to our politicians, a freedom-loving state. I can tell you that these ideas are coming to you. I've met with members of Congress. I've met with members of the Senate, their staff, and I'm telling you right now, they are looking to do something. You need to help them understand that doing something is not going to necessarily solve the problem. And I'll close with this analogy, because I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the heat. But I this is the analogy that I use. If my car won't start, I don't say, oh gosh, I should change my tires because I have to do something. I'll leave it with that. You guys, thank you so much.
We now have Dave Kopp.
I'm going to set my own timer here just so I know before I get the hook. Good morning, fellow terrorists. I am Dave Kopp. I am the president of the Arizona Citizens Defense League. Do we have any AZCDL members in the audience, maybe? Just a few? What has changed? We had Colonel Dave Grossman out here last week talk about school safety, healthy students, and one of the things he points out is don't look for the same things all the time and expect things to change by changing the same things. Look for what has changed. So what has changed in our opponents? Money. Their ideas have not changed. They've had the same ideas for 50, 70, 100 years. Same thing over and over and over again. Register guns, take guns away, make people not be able to own guns. Same thing. We're not doing anything different. But now they have money. Give you a little perspective, okay? Most of us are of modest means. If we spent $40,000 on a car, get you a pretty nice car, but that's a big chunk of change. Mike Bloomberg is worth $40 billion. That's 1 million $40,000 cars. Just think about that for a minute. And he's got the money. Bezos has got the money. Bill Gates has got the money. George Soros has got the money to fund anything Moms Demand Action or March for Our Lives or Brady or whoever wants to do forever. That's what we're up against. So you need to think about that. These guys are organized, they're strong, and they're well funded. So what do we do? You know, it sounds impossible, right? We all feel helpless sometimes. It's one of the reasons I come to great gatherings like this. I've got a room full of people do the same thing that I do, feel the same way. So we get to come here, thanks to Alan and Julianne and all the people at SAF and CCRKBA, for free to talk about what we can do to fight this fight. They definitely deserve a round of applause. So what do we do? Speak up. Job one. If you're an AZCDL member, you know we have an email alerts list. Every time there's a bill on the floor in the Arizona legislature, every time there's a bill in committee, anything that you want to know about what's going to affect our gun rights in Arizona, you get on an alerts list, you're going to hear about it. When you hear about it, you get on the internet, a couple of mouse clicks, you have sent an email to your legislators telling them, hey, no, I don't want this. Or, hey, there's this great bill out there that supports our rights and you should support it too. It's easy. Speak up. Show up. The future belongs to the people who show up. You guys are all here. You show up, right? Preach the gospel to everybody. Show up. When there's committee hearings, when there's floor hearings, show up. They do. I tell you, I see them. 20, 30, 40 of them in the audience with their red Moms Demand Action shirts. They're there. If we're not there, we lose. Act up. Don't just stand there, do something, right? We're going to hear do something a whole lot this weekend. So do something. Don't let them be the only ones doing something. When they say, we've got to do something, we've got to do something, okay, give them something to do. I don't know if you can see this, it's kind of tiny from up there, but I got this from Jim Irvine at Faster Saves Lives when I took their course, best course ever. Okay? That is a good idea. That is something we should do. Train teachers to be armed first responders in the school. That's something we should be telling you. You want to do something? Do that. Because red flag laws are not going to cut it. And you know, I hear, and I'm going to be a little critical of my fellow gun guys. I hear a lot about, well, due process. Yeah, due process problems. We're going to fix the due process problems. Yes, there are tremendous due process problems. But that's not the main problem. The main problem is these laws target guns. Want to take your guns away because you're too dangerous to own one. There's my buzzer. You're too dangerous to own one, so I'm going to take all your guns away and let you go. Bad idea. So fight, guys. Speak up, show up, act up. Thank you.
Richard Pearson, thank you.
Good morning, good people. Welcome from the great state of Illinois. We have two parts of Illinois. We have Chicago, and the rest of Illinois is just like America. We want you to know that. We're not all bad people there. In Illinois, of course, we're facing all kinds of things. We're kind of a cauldron of witch's brew like California is. This year, they introduced gun dealer licensing, which they got through. And it had nothing to do with licensing gun dealers. It had everything to do with licensing or running gun dealers out of business. When they began, we had 2,351 firearm dealers in the state of Illinois. Now we have 1,140. And so it was very effective what they did. However, your friends from the Illinois State Rifle Association do have them in court, and we're suing them over. We're very good at suing people, by the way. We love suing people. So there are two parts to gun rights, or maybe there's many parts to gun rights, but you know, we think about legislation, but the other thing is litigation. If you look at the strides that have been made, litigation has played a large part in that. And it becomes very important that people know that you're willing to sue them. It tends to temper their attitudes a little bit. The other thing that happened in Illinois is we had a thing called Senate Bill 1966. So this is coming your way. It requires firearm owners. We have the FOID card. It's a dollar a year for an FOID card for 10 years. Now they want to raise it to, they started out at 100. Now they want to raise it to 20 bucks for 5 years. But you have to be fingerprinted, which you have to pay for. You have to pay for your own background check. And every time you transfer a firearm, you must go to a firearm dealer. So this thing, to give you an idea, the 62% of the state house is, we'll just say liberals, and 66% of the Senate are liberals. So 1966 passed through the House, passed through the Senate, went back for an amendment in the House, which they actually stripped out the anything that was good in the bill. It started out as a bail bond bill. Came back, and it is now resting. It has to have one more vote for concurrence. And so we are resisting that. We'll come up about the 27th of October, 29th of October. And so we are one vote away from that. But we are resisting that. We're having meetings all over the state, and I don't know how many meetings we've had in the 30s or something like that. We're having gun owners rallies around the state. And those people in Springfield are hearing these gun owners. A friend of mine, Bill Potts, has a great example. If you're out down there and you're having a picnic someday, and a bee comes around and tries to get in your potato salad, you just swat the bee away. But nobody wants to go swat the hive. And so that's what gun owners have to do. We have to be the hive collectively. If they swat us, we have to be the bees. And if you look at a bear will go after the honey, but he still don't like the bees either. If he might get the honey, but he's gonna get punished. So you have to do that. There's one other thing I want to ask you. Ooh, how much time I got here? How many of you people know your state legislators? Hold up your hand. Okay. How many of your state legislators know you? Okay. That's good. But they need to know you. They need to not know you when there's a bill up. They need to know you in their office when there's not a bill up. They need to have a relationship with you, and you need to have a relationship with them. And if you're Second Amendment people, don't go up there with a list of social issues, everything from property taxes to abortion or whatever is burning up your mind. Go there with Second Amendment issues. Make it Second Amendment your issue. Talk to them about Second Amendment issues. Offer them help. And just don't show up when things are bad. show up when things are good. Show up when things you have to say thank you. So having a spaghetti dinner, okay? Show up at the spaghetti dinner. Hey, I'm Ralph. I'm here. You know, I'm glad to help you with this spaghetti dinner. Do you need anything? When you do that, the people who influence a legislator are the people they know. When you call in to a legislator, you know, you say, my name is Richard Pearson. I got these 47 grievances. You know what happens to the person answering that phone? Their ears turn off. You know, they shut down. It's done. You know, you can say, I oppose Bill 1234. Please mark me down as an opposition. I am in Senator so-and-so's district. I am a voter, blah, blah, blah. Make sure you call the people in your district. Make sure you get that done. And then after the thing is over with, one way or the other, you go back and you talk to them in your district. A lot of us are from states that are large, California, Texas. Illinois doesn't look large, but it's 400 miles from one end to the other. And so, you know, you can't go everywhere. You can't be at the state capitol every day. But you can get to your legislator's office or their sub-office or whatever that whatever they have going there. And so it becomes very important that you have that contact and you build that relationship with your legislators. We organize meetings with all of our legislators, and we got 118 of them in Illinois in the House and 59 in the Senate, so it's a big job. And so I want you to do that. That's a plan that really works, but you have to take the time and effort to do that. And the legislators will be happy to meet with you. And if you need more about that, give me a call. Thanks.
Alexander.
Thank you, Julianne. I can assure you and promise you one thing. Coming from the state of New Jersey, where we're overregulated and it's a nanny state, you don't have to worry about my time. I'm used to being controlled. Wait, does my time start now or?
No.
Okay. All right. I literally just ate up 15 seconds of my speech. Anyway, my name is Alexander Rubian with the New Jersey Second Amendment Society. Yeah, come on. Hello. Everything in our state is limited and regulated. I think we should be getting extra time just from being from New Jersey. And before you think you're going to be the smart and bright one and come up to me and say, hey, do you know what the best part of New Jersey is? Leaving. I've heard it a million times being here. I wanted to talk to you about results-oriented activism and the victories that we've actually had in our state. And yes, believe it or not, we've had many legal victories. How many of you know that we've went after 30 towns for violating federal and state gun laws and won every single time? How many of you know that we sued the state of New Jersey over 3 times? And guess how many times we won? Every single time. One of our attorneys, Stephen Sambioli, is sitting right over there. Stand up, Stephen. Stand up. He and his partner single-handedly overturned New Jersey's prohibition and ban on stun guns and tasers and received constitutional carry and constitutional purchase in our state. And we have to give it to those men over there for that victory. Many of you laugh because it's not a real gun, but I can assure you one thing. The groups of women that we work with that prefer to have a stun gun or taser to protect themselves against, you know, violent offenders, violent ex-boyfriends, and so forth, love the fact that every single day they now feel protected because of our legal victory. I want to discuss our results-oriented activism and how we've prevailed in states behind enemy lines. My motto and our strategy has always been identify the enemy, isolate them, and then attack. And that's the only way we're going to win this battle. Every single time we've used that basis and that philosophy, we've won every single time. Think about when you see wild animals running in these, you know, hordes and groups, right? They cannot be attacked. They don't prevail. But then the single time that one of them drifts off or falls behind from the pack, the lion just comes right in and grabs them in. And that's what we do in New Jersey. A couple years ago, we launched a project called Operation Establish Compliance, where we went after towns one by one that were violating New Jersey law. And every single time, we were able to have the laws and the rules, the things that they were doing, overturned and have those towns apologize to us. About a few months ago, we went after a town that was making people get re-fingerprinted every 2 years. Every 2 years, you have to get re-fingerprinted. And we wrote a letter to the Ocean County prosecutor identifying these things, and we went undercover because we've done this for so long, we know the games that they play. Oh, well, they changed it. Oh, you misunderstood, or the person didn't know what he was talking about. We went in for 6 months recording every single time the police department telling us that they needed to get re-fingerprinted every 2 years. And then we wrote a letter to the prosecutor's office, and we went to the town council and spoke at the town council, where they apologized profusely. They had to call the police chief himself in for a special meeting to find out why he's not abiding by New Jersey law. And then within a week, they reversed everything, apologized, and made sure they were abiding by state and federal law. Now, they undermine the whole notion of what a background check is. And this is why I need you guys to understand what goes on behind enemy lines and what happens in New Jersey. Because they want everybody to get a background check, right? But you get a background check, but you still get arrested for your lawfully owned firearm. And every year, hundreds of people in the state of New Jersey, like Brian Aiken, Stefan Josie, Meg Fallenbaum, Shanine Allen, and hundreds more are being arrested and put in jail for non-violent crimes with their lawfully owned, background-checked firearms. That's the America that we live in today. And now we have presidential candidates going out there and saying that they want to put law-abiding citizens in jail. It's time to wake up, America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a war. And let me be very clear. The Second Amendment denied anywhere in America is denying the Second Amendment everywhere in America. And if the Second Amendment dies, America dies with it. Thank you.
5 minutes. Look at that, 5 minutes.
And now I'd like to welcome Holly Sullivan, who's with the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, and I think she might have you beat New Jersey.
Thank you, everybody. I see kind of a recurring theme up here, Connecticut, California, Illinois, New Jersey. I think that's no coincidence. So my name is Holly Sullivan, and I am proudly one of the executive board members of the Connecticut Citizens Defense League. I'm also the Connecticut delegate for the DC Project, so hopefully you're learning a lot about us this week. So I'd like to talk to you about the state issues that we have. The Connecticut Citizens Defense League is a nonpartisan organization that's dedicated to protecting the unalienable rights of all citizens. We're a legislative action group, which not only works on Second Amendment issues, but for those who don't know Connecticut, we also have a state constitution. And in the state constitution, it clearly says that every citizen has the right to bear arms in defense of self and state. So we take that pretty seriously in the Constitution state. Connecticut is actually one of the smallest states in the country. We are the 48th smallest state. We're approximately 1/45th the size of Texas. But we have in the CCDL 34,416 members. Thank you. Just in the month of August, we added over 300 new members in our state. Senators Richard Blumenthal and Chris Murphy may have you think that our small little blue state is anti-gun, but CCDL can attest that almost 270,000 residents in our tiny state are permitted to carry a firearm. That is almost 1 in 7 eligible residents. You take out children and felons, almost 1 in 7 residents in the state of Connecticut can carry a firearm legally. So we're doing stuff in our teeny tiny state that the media and our representatives would not have you know. This year, we have renewed energy and we are focused on outreach and engagement. We had the absolute pleasure to host Maj Toure in the last few weeks, who reached more than 500 people in our state in one jam-packed weekend. We're tirelessly working with other organizations such as college students, getting out on college campuses, talking to young Republicans, libertarians, anyone who supports the Second Amendment. We've opened up dialogues with college NAACP chapters, and we're giving young people information about constitutional issues such as onerous permit fees that we have in the state of Connecticut that prohibit different socioeconomic groups from exercising their Second Amendment rights. So we are also doing outreach initiatives in Connecticut to connect on local levels and find individuals that can lead and connect people so that we can start to reach other communities that maybe is a little different than the faces that we see in this room today. And that's where we're going in our little state. I'm the mom of a 5-year-old little girl. She's a first grader. I live 3.5 miles from Sandy Hook Elementary School. For me, they think that people in my state are all anti-gun, and I'm gonna be the one to say, no, we're not. And I look around the room at the DC Project members, and they look at these women. We're the ones that are starting to say, we've got to change the direction, and we've got to change the dialogue, and we've got to say, you know what? They don't speak for all of us, because, thank you. I demand the ability to take action. I don't want to just demand that somebody do it for me. If I wanna protect my first grader, in the next town over to Newtown, Connecticut, I'm gonna defend the right to do that. And I'm gonna pass that on to her as well. So we've got a lot of work to do. Connecticut was deeply impacted by the legislation that came post Sandy Hook. We have capacity bans, we have ghost gun bans, we have scary feature bans, whatever you can come up with. We have red flag laws without due process. We used to be the Constitution state, and much like California, we can attest that this will spread. But we also have tremendous successes as well. We've stopped show your paper bills, which basically means that an officer can demand to see your permit without any suspicion of a crime. And we've managed to stop some of these bills as well. CCDL and the NRA are supporting Remington Arms in the Soto versus Bushmaster case. And for those who aren't familiar with it, the estate of Victoria Soto, one of the victims in Sandy Hook, is suing Remington Arms because their gun was used in a crime. And we are very proudly supporting them at the Supreme Court level. We have filed amicus briefs with our neighbors in New York and New Jersey, and it's really important that we work together, that these state organizations connect, and we support one another. But I think most importantly, we must speak to those outside of our silos. We have to educate, and we have to have the tough conversations. We have to reach out to the communities that we're not normally in, and I think that's something that each and every one of us in this room can go home with. Am I out of time? So for those of you that don't know CCDL, please check us out, ccdl.us. Check out the DC Project. Keep in touch with me, Holly Sullivan, Second Amendment Advocate on Facebook. And we just got to work together, and we've got to get out there. We've got to kind of change the face of gun ownership in America, and we're doing that in our small little liberal state. So.